Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Chris Danielson, who's Director of Public Relations for the National Federation of the Blind. And Chris is here to talk to us about various things regarding people with sight disabilities and accessibility and what should be done to help. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us about the Federation?
Sure. Well, the National Federation of the Blind is America's leading civil rights and membership organization of blind people. So, and when we say blind, we mean it broadly. So if you're just losing vision, maybe you're not blind per se or totally blind, we mean blind in the broadest possible sense. And we don't hold members to the legal definition either. So if you have any kind of vision loss, feel free to reach out to us. And what we do is we do various things. We provide support to people who are blind and people who are losing vision. We defend the rights of blind people when blind people experience discrimination. We have a division to support families that have children who are blind, the Parents of Blind Children Division. And we just do, we do educational programs for blind children and blind youth and mentoring programs and various things to just help blind people integrate into society. What we believe in is raising expectations, in society so that blind people have more opportunities and raising the expectations that blind people have of ourselves, because particularly when you first go blind, it can be very frightening and very hopeless, and you think your life as you knew it is basically over. But our message is that you can live the life you want. Blindness does not need to hold you back. And that's really what we try to do for blind people, is get them to the place where they are living the lives they want.
How can someone find out more information about the Federation?
Well, we have a website. It is nfb.org. That's NFB for National Federation of the Blind.org. And also, our national headquarters happens to be here in Baltimore, but we're also organized at the state and local level. So actually, if you're in another part of Maryland, perhaps, and hearing this, you can go to nfbmd.org. So NFB and then the abbreviation for our state, md.org. And find the chapter that's nearest to you, or join our at-large chapter, which meets by phone, and you can get involved that way. So those are two ways to do it. We are also on the social media. You can search for National Federation of the Blind on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at @NFB_voice. We have a local number here in Baltimore that you can call. That number is 410-659-9314. And we have an email address, just a general inbox, which is very simple. It's nfb@nfb.org.
I know that you've worked for the Federation quite a while. What's your background and responsibility?
So my background is that I am totally blind and have been since I was born. And I joined the Federation about a little over 30 years ago now as a student. We have a specific division for blind students, so I joined that when I was a college student. And then over the years, I did various volunteer work for the Federation in my home state of South Carolina. Some things that I wrote for our national magazine, the Braille Monitor, got the attention of the folks at headquarters up here in Baltimore. And they actually asked me to come and work in communications for the National Federation of the Blind. So now that's what I do, and I am working as the Director of Public Relations here in the Baltimore headquarters.
You mentioned a little bit about the various education and assistance that you provide. Could you tell us a little bit more?
Well, sure, sure. So we actually have, you know, a lot of what we do is support. It's not direct services, but we actually do have a lot of, a few direct services that we provide. In terms of education, though, I really want to talk about our, believe it or not, there is a shortage of teachers of Braille in our country. Blind children need to learn Braille. So one of the things we've done is we've spun up summer programs so that blind students can get more exposure to an education in Braille if they're not getting enough in school or they just need the extra practice. So
no.
Because of COVID, we're actually doing that online now. And you can go to our website and go to the Programs and Services menu and click on the BELL program. It stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning. And that is for students 4 to 12. And you can apply for that. Students can apply to participate in one of our summer academies, which focus not only on Braille, but also on skills to live independently as a blind person. We're also getting ready to spin up another science, technology, engineering, and math program for blind people. Those are fields that blind people have traditionally been blocked from, but we've actually come up with some innovative ways to teach those subjects, and we are going to be having educational programs around that as well. We'll be announcing those very soon, so just check our website. We usually put all the latest things that we're doing on the front page of our website at nfb.org.
With all the things that you folks are doing, and it really does seem, as you said at the start, that someone who is blind or someone who is losing their sight can live a full life, and that their choices are so many that it is an absolute outdated notion to think that because you are blind, you are very limited.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Bill. I mean, I can literally, except for the professions that involve things like driving, I can literally probably through our network find a blind person that's working in any profession you would choose to name. We know blind scientists, there's a blind marine biologist, at least one. There are blind doctors. There are blind people who work in, as auto mechanics. There are blind people who work as engineers. There's blind people who work as architects. So there really is no limit as long as you're willing to be creative, be a problem solver, network with other blind people to find out how they've done it. And that's one of our real strengths as an organization, because we provide that networking and mentoring, and learn alternative ways of doing things without using your sight. And that's what we really specialize in.
Let's talk about how accessible current internet and digital media are. That can be a huge obstacle.
It is. It's a big challenge, and it shouldn't be, because really all digital media is capable of being born accessible, as we say.
Right.
But the problem is people don't realize that, and they design websites in a way that they're not compatible with the technology that blind people use, which is basically called a screen reader. And all a screen reader is a piece of software that can either read aloud verbally the content of a website or an email or what have you, or actually, if you have certain kinds of devices that can display Braille, you can connect those to your computer or your phone and do that. But the websites have to be coded to allow that kind of technology to work. And it's not rocket science. There is an established set of voluntary guidelines called the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines that you can follow if you're building a website. But unfortunately, they're not followed as much as they should be. Now, it is getting better. I can do a lot more on the internet than I used to be able to do, as we all can. And on the iPhone as well, which is a completely accessible device, and the Android devices are becoming increasingly accessible. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And it really is, you know, we really try to educate about it because it really is an artificial barrier. It really is possible to have inclusive design, and it's not incredibly costly, and you can include more people and get more business if that's what you're focused on. So we do a lot of work. We actually have a grant from the state of Maryland for our Center for Excellence in Non-Visual Access, and
Good.
We're able to conduct free online training sessions for people to learn about accessibility. So
Good.
People can learn, developers and website builders can learn more about that at our website as well at nfb.org.
Thank you. Let's talk about the major issues facing folks that have sight problems. I know you've already mentioned several. Could you give us some highlights?
Well, right now we're very concerned that blind people are treated equally during the pandemic. And so the accessibility issue that we have talked about is a challenge. The state of Maryland is currently fixing its website related
Good.
To the COVID-19 vaccines to be more accessible to blind people. That's as a result of us working directly with them. So that's been a challenge, and just making sure that blind people can get transportation to get the vaccine or get it in some way that it's completely accessible to them, because a lot of blind people also have other disabilities and it may limit their ability to travel and so forth. So we're really focused on that right now, really focused on accessibility of education technology so that blind students, just like all other students, can continue to learn while they're not able to come to school and access the resources that they would normally access. And then, of course, we continue to work on our regular issues, trying to get the stubbornly high unemployment rate among blind people down, which is really just down to employers' attitudes. And that's why I talk so much about the types of jobs that blind people are doing, because we really want to lower that unemployment rate. It always hovers around 70%,
that's
70%.
Wow.
And it's equally high for other groups with disabilities. So we still have a ways to go as a society in making sure that people with disabilities are fully integrated.
That's for certain. Let's talk about what our listeners can do to help.
Sure. Well, if you go to our website, nfb.org, now we're not limited to blind people, so you can join our organization. Of course, we are run by blind people, so there are certain offices that our sighted brothers and sisters cannot hold. But you can still be involved. You can still volunteer. There's a join link right on our website. You can also donate to our organization and help us out that way. And, you know, just shoot us an email and let us know what you'd like to work with us on or what questions you have at nfb@nfb.org, and we will definitely try to connect you and put your talents to work as well. And you can also go, again, to nfbmd.org for the local opportunities here in Baltimore and in Maryland.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I hate to make you say that website again, but could you please give me that and the social media hooks to contact the National Federation of the Blind?
Certainly, sir. The website is nfb.org. You can search for National Federation of the Blind on Facebook, nfb_voice on Twitter, or email nfb@nfb.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
You're fond of information, as I said before, and I really wish you the best.
Well, thank you so much. Look forward to being on again sometime.
Amen. Amen. I will have you back soon. And for Living in Baltimore, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Chris Danielson, who's Director of Public Relations for the National Federation of the Blind, for being our guest today. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.